This morning's readings really have great challenges for us in many ways, as they do most of the time. Although sometimes people say, oh, I go to church so I can just have some sense of peace. Well, if you listen to the scriptures, it's pretty hard to just have a sense of peace that nothing's going on. Let's start with the second reading, because it's rather important that when we hear whoever Timothy was, because it's probably written after Paul's death, so don't worry, it's written in his name anyway. When he says to the people, pray for everyone, including the kings and authority, you realize he's asking them to pray for the Roman rulers who are trying to destroy the early church, who are killing many of the people because they won't bow down and pray to the leaders as gods. That sense, much sense of who Jesus is about, that they could take that position even in the face of death. Now, 2,000 years later, we have government we're also called to pray for, and we're in the midst of 25 years of dysfunction in our government and a campaign that's impossible to deal with in a sense of peace. And this reading would say to us, pray for some sense of peace in what goes on in life under government and with one another. That's a pretty tough call, but yes, it does say to do that. I think that the final line of that particular little piece that we have, where he says, pray with your hands open and pray without anger or argument. I mean, some people end up so angry with God that they're praying with fists formed and not with hands open, or with others that they're praying and they can't let go with their fists and come to a sense of peace and prayer. It's a good challenge to us just to look at today's second reading. Now let's go to Amos and to the gospel. Amos is wonderful. Amos is a landowner who happens to have an orchard and a ranch, and he's considered as an honest person. Otherwise, he could not stand up there in front of his people and say, you need, when you're in church, to them it would have been synagogue, you need to pray and not be thinking how you're going to screw over, in plain English, your neighbor when you leave here. Really calling it back to the sense of peace that was true in the reading to Timothy. Pray and have your mind on what you're praying about. Understand that if you're praying and thinking, okay, I'm going to go out there and sell bad wheat or sell my neighbor into slavery because he owes me for a pair of sandals or whatever else it says in that particular reading, that something's wrong. You have to wonder these days about who might be praying and then hauling people to the border and dumping them out to where they end up dying in the desert crossing into the U.S. Or hauling people in boats from North Africa toward Europe, or letting them be there in boats that probably sink and lose a lot of people. And how can you pray and allow that as a sense of what happens? We see the same thing, you know, here. You know, I look at some of the things that you get ads for all the time. You know, car loans against your car, or payday loans against what you're going to get as a check. They're preying on people who are poor and finding ways to get whatever they've got left away from them. We're reminded constantly, you know, as we listen to Amos, be careful. You owe it to the poor to consider them well and not to be plotting, not in prayer, against them. And then finally we have the gospel. Is it a parable or is it a story of something that was true and that Jesus had heard? We don't know. There's so much written in this by the different authors on the scriptures about this particular parable or story, and nobody can really come to agreement. It's amazing how much is written just about this one story in different writers on the New Testament. But the big thing with this is, you know, Amos was a hero. This guy who's the steward is the anti-hero. You know, he's the guy who is tied up really with a crooked owner who's probably Galilean, and he has figured out, how do I make room for myself when he throws me out? Because he somehow heard that he's done wrong for the owner in running his enterprises. So he figures, well, if I let all these people down, then they'll take me in. But another thing happens once he's out of there is that the people will also think well of the owner, because usually they don't like the owner very much at all. But it's a place to work and be. So all of this combines together that people say, well, how does Jesus deal with giving us this particular story? And it's when he gets out of the story and goes on, hey, if you're paying attention only to the bad goods and not doing that well, who's going to trust you with a sense of faith? So he's calling them, look, you need to be children of the light, not children of the dark. So he really ends up pointing to the steward as a child of the dark. While he takes care of himself, and he's prudent, I always like that word and run into it. It's one of Father Tony's favorite words. That's being prudent. I always like it. He always throws that one around. But, you know, how do we know that being prudent with those things is going to lead to being prudent with a sense of faith? And so the whole rest of that pericope talks about the give and take of how do I come to be a child of the light, a child who can be trusted as a believer, as a follower of Christ. And so he's urging his disciples, come, learn to be a child who looks on the eternal life and life with me as strong as he does to the daily life of shekels, dollars, whatever you want to call it, in your life. And that's fairly difficult, right? Work 40 hours or more at one's job, and then how do you work out time to pay attention properly to what happens in one's faith life? And that's the challenge. The challenge of Jesus as he gives this crazy story, the story of the unjust servant, the unjust boss, the guy who's crooked, whatever. But he says, look, come, be someone who allows yourself to know what it means to trust the good. He says, if you trust first mammon, which translates to money, and spend all of your time chasing money, you won't have time or sense of how to follow me. So it's a fairly wonderful gospel, put in position with a wonderful piece from Amos and a wonderful call to prayer and a call to an honest prayer as given to us in the reading to Timothy. And as we put them all together, we have a Sunday liturgy which challenges us to be true always, to be honest in whatever we do, and to follow, and to allow that our prayer is going to go out to whoever, regardless of our politics, and know that, yes, Jesus calls us to honor our God. He calls us to honor our God, whether we call God Yahweh or Father or Allah, but always to be honest and to come to know he is indeed represented here, still among us, by Jesus, who offered all in love to us.